everyone. Welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan, because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons because there are many. So, surprise! You're getting a second episode this week, and this week I'm sharing a conversation I recently had with Connor Allen, the director and co-writer of a new horror film called In the Fire. It's spooky season, and I have a lot of interviews in my backlog, so I decided why not release a second episode this week. There might be a second episode next week, but I can't be sure yet. But I really enjoyed watching this movie, and my chat with Connor Allen was really fun. We talked about 1890s psychology and mental health and what movies provided inspiration for him as he was filming In the Fire. As always, please take a second to rate and review us wherever you listen to us and subscribe, and let's get into my conversation with Connor Allen. This week, I have Connor Allen on the show. He's the director and co-writer of the new movie called In the Fire, starring Amber Heard. Amber plays Grace, a doctor from New York who travels to a remote plantation in the 1890s to care for a disturbed boy who seems to have inexplicable abilities. She begins treating the child, but in doing so, ignites a war of science versus religion with the local priest, who believes the boy is possessed by the devil and is the reason for the village's woes. Welcome, Connor. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Allison. Very excited to be here and, you know, it's always a really exciting but also nerve-wracking time for a filmmaker to put their movie out and, you know, working on it for about 10 years. So,
oh my goodness.
People get to finally see it.
Oh, well, that's amazing. Congrats. I got to watch it today and it was really interesting, really, really beautiful. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah, I'm a filmmaker, writer, director from Dallas, Texas. I've been doing this for about, I don't want to age myself, but coming on 15, 20 years. And I love what I do. What can I say? I get to tell stories for a living. I have three little kids too. So I'm like, I feel like I'm telling stories during the day, telling stories at night before bed. And it's like, you know, I'm a court jester, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. I love it.
Awesome. So the first thing I always ask people when they come on is, what's your favorite scary movie?
Oh gosh, that's a hard one. I mean, that's actually... Well, my favorite scary movie is The Exorcist. The movie that scared me the most was the TV movie of It, the Stephen King Pennywise movie from the 1990s version, which I saw when I was wildly too young. But my favorite is The Exorcist. And there's a little bit of The Exorcist in this movie. So
yeah, there definitely is. Can I ask how you first fell in love with the horror genre?
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess it goes back to those two movies. My dad loved movies, and so he would take me to see films, really just any good movies, not necessarily horror, but any good movies early. And I really liked horror movies. I like the roller coaster of a good horror, I guess. You know, I'm not so much into like the slasher gore versions of them, but the ones that really make you think and question and have, you know, bigger societal thoughts and stuff and you know, take you on a big roller coaster ride. That's great for me. I love that. Well, I guess in terms of what am I bringing to the table is, you know, trying not to repeat a horror movie, you know, is taking some inspiration from something like The Omen or The Exorcist, you know, story, you know, movies of demonic possession, and trying to find new ground to cover, you know, and in our case within The Fire, I thought it'd be really interesting to do something. You know, in those films, the kid is quite clearly possessed by the devil. The devil's in the kid. The devil, we got to stop the devil. We got to kill the kid, whatever. Like, that's the mission is quite clear. And, you know, in real life, you know, pre-1920s, demonic possession, you know, people with mental illness was often misdiagnosed as demonic possession. And those people would be crucified, murdered. Yeah. Burned at the stake, thrown off a cliff, whatever. And so that'd be interesting. Let's do kind of a demonic possession movie, but let's have it be a bit more ambiguous where the disturbed child, maybe he is indeed possessed, or maybe he's just different. And, you know, modern science might point in a different direction. And like, maybe actually we need to protect this kid from the priest who's trying to, you know, perform an exorcism on him.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I saw that definitely when I watched the movie today. I really liked the angle that you came at it from like a psychology point of view. So that was great.
I think psychology is interesting. It's topical. People
Yeah.
are still dealing with mental health has become this like buzzword, but I don't know that we all really know quite what to make of it yet. And it's not something that it's kind of like a sickness that you can have that nobody wants to talk about. It's still kind of hushed, and it hasn't, it's a science that hasn't been around very long. This movie takes place in
Yeah.
the 1890s. Psychology had only existed for 15 or 20 years at that point. It wasn't a respected science at all. People thought they were kooks. And so we thought, I thought that'd be an interesting protagonist for us, this person who
Yeah.
believes so thoroughly, but no one else believes, the way she does.
Yeah, definitely. So, how did you wind up coming up with the idea for this take on possession with your co-writers Pascal Bourneau and Silvio Maraglia?
Well, I guess it sort of starts with the genesis of other, inspired by other demonic possession movies, and sort of taking a few different, subgenres, sort of the horror genre of demonic possession. But then this film's kind of a Western. It takes place in the
Yeah.
1890s, but it's not a wild west of the Americas. It takes place in South America, which also has a very Western culture. So I call it like a gaucho Western. But South America is also a very religious place, an incredibly
Okay.
devout place, an extreme place, for Catholicism. What a great setting for a movie of science versus religion. So we use those as jumping off points, and then, create the story from there.
Very cool. I wanted to ask, so I wasn't sure where it took place, like where in South America, but have
And
you been to South
we
America
kind of
before?
wanted, we, well, I have,
Yeah.
I've done a couple of movies prior to this in
Okay.
Colombia, and I traveled in South America, but we wanted to leave it sort of ambiguous on purposely. This movie is meant to live in this gray area between sort of fact and fiction, science and superstition. And so we have sort of clues and hints and stuff and make it feel as realistic as possible. But nowhere in the film do we say we are now, Colombia,
Yeah.
1892 or something like that. Like, we wanted it to live in a little bit more of a romantic setting that the audience can just imagine.
I have to ask, why did you decide to make the main character Grace a female doctor? I have to assume there weren't many female doctors back in the 1890s.
There were a few, but there were not very many. I think it's important for the protagonist of, of any film to be an extreme version of themselves, to start in a place of great conflict with other people. And so, psychology, like I mentioned, was not a respected science at the time. So any doctor of psychology, even Sigmund Freud, would have been kind of up against it in order to prove themselves against other real doctors of that period. If you were to, now let's take that person and now let's make them a woman. Oh, okay, so she's a faction of a faction at this point. And okay, here's somebody who has to, okay, not only does she need to prove herself amongst the other male doctors, but she also needs to prove that psychology makes sense. And it makes her an exile. She's an outcast herself, and she travels to, to the edge of the world for a chance to prove herself, and finds herself in a relationship with another outcast who is this little boy who's different, and because of that difference has been ostracized from his community. And even though they're both exiles from their own communities, they have a chance to sort of create their own family together, and that's sort of part of the arc of the movie for them.
There was very much a theme of like being othered for both of them. So that was really cool. Like you were saying, she's there to help a little boy, Martin. And at one point, she deems him incapable of social interactions and with no capacity for empathy. So I thought this might be autism, which the synopsis on Letterboxd confirmed. And you were saying before how
I will say,
mental.
we actually, I would say that Letterboxd synopsis got away from someone at the marketing team. We
Okay.
actually, we actually, I'm glad you brought it up because it's interesting. We didn't want to have a modern day diagnosis for what this kid is going through, because I feel like that's cheating the system. with our historical research that we did for the script and the characters and the science that Grace brings to the table, we tried to only use stuff that was pre 1898. And because, of course, you know, what we, the spectrum and all that, that didn't exist back then. So have that as a crutch wouldn't have been fair. Now, I think I do want the modern audience like yourself. You watch the movie and you say, oh, I wonder, that boy's not possessed. He's just on the spectrum. He just has this, he has that. I think you want the audience to be making that kind of diagnosis with the character of Grace, but we tried to stay away from allowing ourselves to use any sort of modern terminology or anything.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think the term autism existed.
It didn't.
So yeah, that's really interesting. So another theme besides like being othered that I saw in the movie was a theme of like imposter syndrome. There's the time when Grace is like, I'm not this person. I'm just saying what other men have said. So that was really interesting. Is that anything that's come from your life?
Certainly. Yeah. I think all the best characters are drawing directly from, I've certainly had moments where I'm standing on set and everyone's looking at me and they're like, what do we do? And I'm like, oh, I'm a fraud. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing. I should never direct a movie. Why did I get myself into this? This script is garbage. Someone needs to get me out of here. And then, you know, hopefully you calm down and like go make your movie. But for sure, that's part of our all. I think everyone hopefully can relate. Yeah. Great fears and anxiety that we keep bottled up inside of us, and we don't let anyone know that we're just all faking it. In this movie, it's my favorite scene of the film, where this Amber Heard's character is using hypnosis on this boy, which was sort of like cutting edge psychology science, at the time. And she's using hypnosis to, elicit responses from him. And he's either sort of supernatural or possibly just gifted intellectual kid who kind of figures out how to turn the hypnosis against her. And all of a sudden she's confessing these deep, dark secrets to him without really wanting to. And also sort of saying it out loud makes you realize what's driving you. And that's something that's from my life, and also something that, makes sense for the movie.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people can relate to that for sure. Do you have a background in psychology?
I took a psychology class when I was one psychology class in college because I heard had cute girls. But what I do like a lot is I'm a huge history nerd. So what I did enjoy a lot was doing research on psychology of the period. So like I said, we had kind of a cutoff date where like anything written after, the turn of the 20th century was off limits. And so we were reading like original texts from Freud and learning about psychology at that era. And it was fun because some of it was clearly wrong. The science, the facts, and I'm, they dropped the ball and this is bullshit, but at the time it was right. And it reminds us, both whether you're on the science side or the religion side, facts do change. Convictions, you might be totally convinced that your science is right in 1898, but by 1938, things have changed a lot and you were wrong.
Yeah. So where and when did you shoot the film and what was the shoot like?
So we shot this film in February, March of 2022. We shot half of it in southern Italy in the region of Puglia, which is the heel of the boot of Italy. And the other half in Guatemala, in the old colonial capital of Antigua, which is this fabulous colonial town up in the mountains in the shadow of three volcanoes. Two of which were active during our production. So it's very cool to be up in the mountains shooting a movie about the, supernatural while nature's greatest forces were acting upon us. That was pretty awesome.
And nerve-wracking. That sounds a little bit scary.
And a little bit scary.
Yeah. So by the end, we know a little bit more about what's going on with Martin. And would you call some of his inexplicable ability, some form of like telekinesis.
I mean, I have my own opinions, but I hope what's cool about the movie is that everyone can make their own diagnosis, you know, and say, okay, you know, I think we present in the movie opportunities where things happen and the audience, like Amber Heard's character, can question their beliefs and say, okay, what I just saw is that he's you know, intellectually gifted, touched by God, possessed by the devil, you know, what did I just see? Or is there a practical explanation that makes sense? And we can all walk out of there with a different opinion, and that's okay.
How did the cast come together?
So Amber was the first one on board. I met her on a TV pilot that I'd written, and, you know, I was really taken by her. And I learned that she had lived in Mexico City for a while, that she spoke fluent Spanish. She really loved history, was an avid reader. And ultimately, you know, she in her own personal life is this fearless truth teller who has stuck with her, you know, convictions despite all of the trauma and havoc that's wreaked on her life. And the character of Grace is also this fearless truth teller who comes into this small town and you know, has these beliefs and convictions and tries to protect this kid and tells the local priest, you know, why he's wrong and tries to explain her facts and ultimately isn't believed and is dragged through the public square and, you know, whipped and beaten for her convictions. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Amber very quickly connected with that story and also was able to, you know, because of the parallels in her own life, bring a lot of herself to that role.
That's really interesting. Were there any specific horror directors who influenced you while you were shooting this?
I guess it's hard for me to beat Friedkin and The Exorcist.
Yeah.
I went to Georgetown where they shot that movie. Like, yeah. I lived right really close to the Exorcist stairs, and I, you know,
yeah,
up them for exercise when I was a kid. So that movie's just ingrained in an early age. And it's also a film that has that sort of science and religion aspect. And that was quite intellectual, that, you know, wasn't a slasher film, wasn't a gore horror film, or even like a gotcha. The tension in that movie was all about the imagination. And I always draw from that.
Nice. Are you going to go see the new sequel that's coming out?
I probably will. I don't know. Sometimes with sequels, I don't know if it's like, am I challenging the original by watching the sequel, you know? Or do I want to live in that space more? I don't know. I love The Exorcist, so I'm split on it.
Yeah. So my last question is, what do you want people to know before they sit down to watch In the Fire?
Good question. Gosh, I guess I want them to come to the movie with an open mind and, you know, get to play the role of doctor. I mean, I think what's, you know, part of the fun of the movie is that you're part of the experience and making that diagnosis, that, you know, you're seeing the world through the eyes, through the lens of Amber Heard, who's like the modern, you know, the modern point of view in the movie, and getting to be a part of that experience. So I hope people come to the movie and enjoy it, but also get something that they can talk about. And maybe you don't agree with the person sitting next to you, and you can, you know, get to hash out why you think you're right afterward.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you and In the Fire online?
Yes. So yeah, my name is Connor Allen, writer, director of In the Fire. The movie is it's coming out Friday, October the 13th. Great day for popping some popcorn, turning the lights off for a scary movie. And you can't find me. I'm not on social media. A good friend of mine who's in the movie got dragged on social media, and I kind of was done. So
okay, that's understandable. Social media can be terrible sometimes. So, well, thank you again, and good luck with the release of In the Fire.
Thanks for having me on, Allison.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Connor Allen, and thanks again to Connor for coming on. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Who's There PC. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and never ask who's there.